Hey, Warriors, and welcome to another episode of Warrior Within. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad you get to hear this another podcast. I know a lot of you got fooled by my April Fool's trick last week with the intro. I had a few of you write messages to me about your feelings and how you felt, and it was funny, but I know I wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I know some of you just started listening, but it just couldn't let it pass by. I mean, it was April Fool's. But this week, I think it's going to be in another important week. Last week, we talked about Jesus rising from the dead. We talked about how that was very vital. But I also think there's another part we need to understand that's very important, because we see it in our culture, we see it in the Christian culture, is how people define God, how they instruct how God really is. And nowadays, you keep hearing, well, God is all about love, God is all about love. But there's attributes about God that are very important that we need to understand why what Jesus did is vital and why these attributes truly do matter. You know, because we have the world and we're battling against it because there's laws and truths and ideologies that they're bringing in. And then there's God's law and his truth and his foundation. We are given a truth, a moral foundation by which we can stand on. It's just, why is it that we rather choose our own truth than follow the one that we're supposed to? And where do we find this moral foundation? I mean, technically, it's really right there in the Bible, but it takes studying and understanding to have a better understanding of what that really means. So when we choose to do sin, or we see sins that we're like being more comfortable of allowing to basically progress itself into the culture or into our churches or more acceptable, what we're doing is we're allowing that world enticement or the enslavement of sin itself being brought into the Christian walk, because we don't know how to understand the value of God's truth versus the truth that the world gives. In today's world, we have a lot of people who are running around with their own format of truth. I have a friend that constantly tries to challenge me. Basically, he tries to throw out that, you know, well, you can't tell me that's wrong because that's your truth, this is my truth. But when you get him to define what that means, you can then counter the concept that, well, if that is your truth, this is my truth, then how are you able to tell someone that they're wrong? Because he defines that I have my truth, and so another person can have their truth. But if their truth doesn't match up with his truth, is it wrong? And they can't answer that question, because if they say yes or no, and they know morally thinking it's not a right answer, it doesn't work. And then I can go around and say, boom, look at my, if you look at the scriptures, it tells you that there is a right and wrong, and there's a moral perspective by which we stand on. So sin's capability is that it has, like, the world has their own version of what is good and bad, and we're seeing it. You hear the statement probably a few times every week from somebody, you know, bad things are considered good and good things are considered bad. So what is it that, where are we supposed to find that position to stand on? How are we supposed to stand? The Bible teaches us. It teaches us who God is. And it also shows us attributes of God that defines an important understanding of how to stand. Because if we don't understand God, then how are we supposed to understand what we can say is right, what is wrong? How are we supposed to be able to stand for truth? And the first that's really important to us to understand is his holiness. Holiness is defined just separating yourself. It's basically you're separating yourself from. And in this case, God is separating himself from sin. So he, in other words, is pure. And when we consider pure, we think pure, white as snow. You know, that statement that we use, there's a reason for that. And sin is usually depicted with what color? Because if holiness is considered white, what is sin? Black. And black is considered like a stain of color, right? That's why one of my favorite sets of colors is actually red, white, and black. Because black indicates sin, red indicates what Christ did, the blood, and white is the cleansing from sin. So what is holiness have to do with his attribute being vital? Well, if we understand that holiness means that God is separating himself, so he is pure, there's no sin, being holy then means that we have to understand that no sin can be with God. And if we are accepting sins because that's our truth, or I don't think God really meant that, then we are creating our own truth that isn't God's truth. 1 Samuel 2:2 states, "There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." And depicting a picture of a rock, you know that it's trying to define the rock is final, it's set, and it's never changing. Is not defining, oh, look, but when the storms hit it and the rain, blah, blah. It's trying to create an image that when a boulder is there, you and I can't move that boulder. And even if we keep chipping at it, the idea is that it's still final. Because I'm not talking about like a small rock. I'm talking like a giant boulder, you know, like boulder almost the size of what was probably covering the tomb of Jesus. Boulder. Okay. So that picture is to show us the solidness of who God is. And if he is solid like that, that means that he's not changing, which means that there is no way around the line of understanding holiness. So he separates sin from him, meaning that any of those who don't know Christ are separated from him. It also means, well, even though we're in righteousness, you know, because of grace, our sin does separate. Because you ever notice that you struggle with your walk with the Lord and you notice you kind of are jumping into things you're not supposed to be doing? Well, you start basically blocking the Holy Spirit's truth into you to keep you walking with the Lord. But we always use the phrase, but God, it seems like God's not there. And then the other situation is when things are hard. God doesn't seem like God's not there. Well, a lot of times it's because we use fear as an okay move to kind of slumber ourselves into that fear. You know, I've been there. It's why I'm saying this. I've been there. I know what it's like to be so much stuck inside a deep hole that you are wondering where God's at. And God's going to keep saying to you, I've never left you. You just stopped looking at me. You stopped trusting me. You stopped having faith in me. Because we need to understand his holiness, his righteousness. Now, we've talked about righteousness several times. It's basically doing, he is so righteous, he is the foundation by which we are supposed to follow. So his truths are supposed to be our truths. His ways are supposed to be our ways. We're supposed to walk in with him. When Christ died on the cross and we accepted him, we said, we're willing to follow you, Jesus, because we believe you are our Savior, and that the way that you have your will, your, you know, the direction you've been creating and teaching your disciples is the way we're supposed to go. And we can see another attribute that I think is very important. God is just. He saw that, you know, mankind sinned. He gave him consequences, but then he gave him hope. There were sacrifices that needed to be done beforehand, but then he brought Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, right? So he is just. There's still going to be consequences for action. When you and I make choices, bad things are going to happen. Or may hurt other people. Or it may take us in a path we weren't expecting because we decided to do what we wanted instead of allowing God to kind of guide us where we're supposed to go, right? Because we see it evident when Adam and Eve sinned, right? They all pointed their fingers to everybody else, didn't take the blame, so he cursed humanity, he cursed the world. But there was still even another consequence that happened, because you remember, they were in the garden, right? A perfect garden. But if you go to Genesis 3:24, it states, he drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. He got kicked out. So his justice still will throw consequences on those. You see it throughout Scripture. It is evident that God is just. And so we need to understand that our sins could have consequences. And the longer we don't deal with it, the worse it's going to get. And the harder it's going to be to return to walking with the Lord. And the more effect it can have not only on us, but the people around us. Take a quick break. So knowing that God is all good and just, then why would he want to spare us? Why in the world would God want to spare humanity? We know Noah's Ark. He was going to destroy all of humanity. But because of one man having faith in God, he spared his family. And you guys got to think, and the animals. So he was going to destroy all of the earth. It wasn't just going to be humanity itself. Everything. Plants, trees, everything. Everything that was alive would be destroyed. And yet he spared. And as you can see, not everyone repented. Our choices, when we do wrong, can be corrupt, and they will bring in consequences. We can look through all the different stories of the kings, how many of them who started out right ended up wrong, or were corrupt right off the bat, so, and many of them were put to death, and some of them were even assassinated. Consequences came. Choices they made came. But yet God decided that he was willing to save. He honored those that honored him. He blessed those that blessed him. That's why when I hear people say, you know, I can't repent. God can't love me, can't care for me. I'm too horrible. That's the point. We're all horrible. We're not worthy of God. That's why, you know, I talked about the importance of grace and what Christ did and why he had to rise again the third day. Because it's self-evident. He defeated what we were supposed to have. A death and an eternal separation from God. Remember King David, he murdered. He had adultery. God still gave him a consequence. He lost the baby. He was never the same. But he forgave David. Why? Because someone was willing to confront him about what he did. Because God asked that man to step up and say something. David could have killed them straightforward and said, I don't care. And you're not going to talk to me like that. You're done. But then we move forward in time. And Jesus, who is the ultimate sacrifice, If you go to Romans 5, 12 through 19, these are important verses. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, remember Adam, because of Adam's sin, sin came in, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. Remember, it was, you know, sin came in before Moses and the Ten Commandments. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one's trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. This is like the conclusion of that whole statement. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and the life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Is that clicking? But the idea is that we have all this stuff has happened. There's consequences. There's things that go wrong because of choices we make. And yes, we all sin. We struggle with sin. Some of us struggle more, I guess you could say, with certain sins than others do. And other sins that you might do that other ones might not do. But the idea is we would never be worthy because we could never be 100% obedient to God. We make mistakes, we make bad choices, we do sins, we get involved in things. We, you know, maybe we're worse when we were younger and older, we got better. Or, you know, maybe we've been a Christian since a kid, but yet we still floundered and went up, you know, didn't do things we were supposed to be doing. But there was only one person who lived the perfect life, who made every decision based in obedience to God's will only, scripturally, actions, how he spoke, how he treated people. This is why Jesus wasn't just a man. This is why Jesus is God as man. Because who's the only person that could be holy? God. Who's the only person that could be pure? God. Who's the only one that could be 100% righteous? And if he's that, he's also showing his justice and his judgment. God loved his creation and longs for all of us to be with him. We know another part of God's attribute is love, but it's not the whole thing. It's not the only attribute about him. Because this is why he sent his son, because he loved us so much he didn't want anybody to go to hell. He didn't want anybody to perish. And though he's holy and righteous, he is also judge. And this world will be judged. Sin will one day be destroyed. And those who do not know God and his free gift of Jesus will know his judgment. 2 Peter 3, 9 through 10 states, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. He will destroy all those that don't know him. He'll destroy this planet, rebuild it, basically. This is why it's so important for us to share the gospel message. It shouldn't just be Easter when we're excited about what Jesus did. This should be our everyday desire to let others know. We may not every day be able to meet someone who needs to know Jesus, but you need to be prepared to know what to say and what to teach and what to talk about. You may not remember all the references, but you'll definitely remember a lot of the verses because the Holy Spirit will give you them. You may have not gone to a Christian education, got college, or whatever, but you should still know your word. Because that one person that you meet has been searching for so long to find a truth and has only heard of Jesus but never really known of Jesus watches you and how you walk, how you talk, how you prepare yourself, and ask that question: why are you different? And then you can tell them, you could teach them, because now you understand that even though God is holy and righteous and justice and judge and loving, he sent someone to die for you. And the scary part is, guys, you have a lot of churches that are just, I'm not saying all churches, but there's a lot of churches that are being very accepting of a lot of sins. And I'm not just talking about the alphabet team. Adultery. Lying. Gossip. Men and women living together and not married. Alcoholism, drug addiction, rape, abuse. Because as long as they don't see it, then it's not really a problem until it's revealed, right? We need to be very careful about that. And we should be praying for repentance. We should be praying for redemption. We don't need to forget about forgiveness, because that is very important too. But to see a church really praying for sins and cleansing and seeing holiness come into that church, because they truly want to see their brothers and sisters in Christ walking with the Lord. I think we need to start praying that people start repenting more than ever, because we need to start seeing Christians sharing the gospel message to other people. Because the time is nigh. I don't think it's that much further that God's going to send his son in return to pick those that have accepted him. But I also know he's patient. And we got to change a lot of aspects of our lives so that we have a better understanding of how to lead as men, how to talk as men, how to walk as men of God. So that we're teaching our kids, teaching our wives, we're being more active in our churches. We're speaking up when we're supposed to be speaking. We're sharing the gospel with that friend that we've never said a word. Family member who's not walking with the Lord. But it does come down to understanding who God is, his attributes, Because this world's not going to be teaching that, and many Christians are getting caught up in the, well, God is just love. And they need to be very careful because he's not just love. And love does not mean that you just accept people where they're at without expecting them to be repentive or changing or walking with the Lord as they're supposed to. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time. I ask you to bless this conversation. I pray that you would use this to maybe help those that are struggling with understanding who you are, Lord, but also to help us as a reminder that it's not just Easter, that we should be excited about what you did for us, for sending your son. It should be every day, all the time. Sharing the gospel. Knowing our truth. Standing firm in our truth. So when we're questioned or challenged, we know where we stand. Pray that you help men to understand this. I pray you help women that might be listening to this, whoever needs to hear this, that they recognize the need to know their scriptures, to know you, to spend time in understanding you. Stop creating their own truths of who you are, but standing on your truths. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all have a great week, and I will see you next time. God bless.